Back in Morning North State, welcome to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, September 14, 7:06 in the morning. It's going to be a great day. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. That's 4567. And we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. We can also reach us, send us an email at linda@kcnr1460.com, or just come on and chat with us at KCNR1460. Joined today, of course, by our huge number of producers, directors, interns, researchers, just general hanger-ons, and but they're all rolled up into one called Eric. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Eric came in and rescued me last night. I was recording a show, and
how nice.
You know, I couldn't figure out. I said, okay, why can't I hear anything here? And then so Eric comes walking in, just as I realized you probably have to turn up the volume on it. Yeah. So well,
it's not like none of us have ever done that before.
Well, no,
so.
No, that's true. But you know what?
So
speaking
hard.
Of turning up the volume, here she is, Linda.
I'll take that. Oh gosh, today's going to be high of 91. Degrees. It didn't feel hot to me yesterday. It was great. I had a great time visiting with the girlfriend last night. She's taking a 2-week trip to China, so we got to catch up before she takes this trip. It's a girlfriend's, one of her girlfriend's 50th birthday, and the girlfriend who's turning 50 has put together this trip, and so there's a group of people, I think mostly women, that are going to experience 2 weeks in China. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I think that's pretty much, my sound off today to start the day about, you know, what it is to just, you know, life is short. Go out and enjoy. Take a chance. Go do something interesting. Because when you think back on it, did you realize that here's kind of like it, time flies by. You know, as lights went out in the bedroom throughout America, voices were heard repeating the good night routine performed on this. The very first performance of the Waltons in 1972. Do you remember Goodnight John, boy? Goodnight Jim Bob? Goodnight Elizabeth? Do you remember this? Families tuned in every Thursday night to get a TV view of the live happenings of the Waltons.
Well, first of
family.
All, nobody does that.
We don't know if you were living in a one-bedroom house.
Do you? But it wasn't one-bedroom. It was 86 rooms. There were 45 people in the family. And for an hour and a half, that whole show could have been, good night, John Boy. Good night, Diane. Good night, Mama. Good night, Grandpa. Grandma.
Well, you know what? Speak from your own experience. I can remember.
I'm just kidding.
A girlfriend of mine named Janie Gimmick. Oh, Janie Gimmett. Excuse me. And she lived in... She lived in a one-bedroom church. It was an old church with her family, and their walls were sheets. And I can remember as a kid visiting them, so you don't think they might have said, good night, Johnny, good night. Maybe they did do that. So,
okay.
So families turned in every Thursday night to get a TV view of the life happening of the Walton family, the Depression years. And a story narrated by its creator, Earl Hammer Jr., was seen through the eyes of the oldest of seven children, John Boy, portrayed by Emmy Award-winning Richard Thomas. I just thought it was pretty cool. Also on this day, Francis Scott Key, an attorney for the Washington, D.C., was aboard a warship that was bombed, and he wrote the famous words to express his feelings. Those became the Star-Spangled Banner.
That's right. Today.
1814.
Which you sing a lot.
This is one of your favorite shows, Paladin. In 1957, Richard Boone became the hired gun. And the series Have Gun, Will Travel was the most popular Western, and it continued for 6 years. You love that. Paladin.
He was more of an intellectual, a philosopher with a pistol.
He was a philosopher. There was some advanced stuff there going on. And in 1982, we remember on this day, a horrible tragedy. Princess Grace of Monaco died from injuries suffered when her car plunged off the mountain. Her daughter, 17-year-old Stephanie, was a passenger in the car. And, let's see.
Does Stephanie live?
Oh, yeah. Very largely.
Okay.
I also want to share with you, we talk about our times.
Yes.
You know, real estate in Las Vegas. We talk about our times and how much things have changed. Well, second homes in Las Vegas condos are on sale. You want to know how much they're on sale? Okay, well, it's
well, yeah, I mean, their second homes, you mean not their primary residences, but their second residences.
The Las Vegas residential real estate market has been among the hardest hit in the country, as we all know, and second home bargains are rampant compared with previous highs. For instance, top10realestatedeals.com recently surveyed condo sales managers and realtors and concluded that condo prices only were down 70% from highs of 2005-2006. Top 10, Bob Walsh offers examples from some of the city's most prominent buildings.
Only down 70%?
Such of the condos. For instance, Trump Las Vegas, which dropped from around $600,000 to $167,000.
Yeah, but they've got townhouses there that are worth, you know, that they sold them for $270,000 that they can't even get offers on. I mean, you could get them for $50,000, $40,000 if the banks turn
around. I remember.
You know, and that's the other thing. If the banks ever turn their statistics loose of how many homes and how many properties are holding, it would be such a shock to this nation. But they're holding them. They're just holding them. Because if they put them on the market, it would even be worse.
Well, here's another one. If you're familiar with Las Vegas, Turnberry Towers from $550,000 to $200,000. We got to take a break. That's just amazing because I remember a few years back being and thinking about $500,000, $600,000, $1 million for these, you know. Anyway, so that's just how our world is right now. And we're going to take your calls and your emails today. Weigh in with what's going on with you. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning right here on KCNR. We'll see you after these messages.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 7:16 in the morning, September 14th. Good morning. Halfway through September, we're on that roll.
Yeah,
toward
we are
the holidays. Toward the holidays. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567 or start chatting with us at KCNR 1460. I think we had an email. Okay, go on and say it.
All right, somebody said, you know, just turned on. Walton's really was one of my favorite shows. See?
Okay, yeah, you know what? Yeah, but it doesn't count when it's sent by your mother. Okay? Those things do not count being sent by your mother.
All right. Anyway, it wasn't my mother. It was a friend, dear friend. By the way, the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Currently 60 degrees. Going to be high today of 91, and Friday night we're going to be out there. Rick Hill is playing.
Right.
Come and join us out at the Anselmo to begin the new music series.
You're going to be singing somehow.
Yes,
yeah.
We're going to
get
that post.
Let's look at
soon.
The front page of the Record Searchlight. We like Record Searchlight. It says hundreds in Shasta County are delinquent or defaulting on their taxes, $3.9 million. However, very few of these ever are taken over by the county because usually the properties are sold or the taxes are made up. They have 5 years to do it. My question is this. Why put the names of private individuals on the front page that may be having a really tough time in this economy? They're doing everything to stay alive. And then, let's just put their name on the front page. They're delinquent in their taxes. I don't understand that concept. Is this something that we all need to know? Is this something that, if you say you made a mistake or you did something, okay, yes, some of them are back, you know, like, you know, a few thousand dollars, and they put the top 10 on there. But what if, you know, you did something that was an impact, you know, was it a terrible thing? Maybe you were going through, a tough time economically in your life, and then to have yourself identified there so everybody can take a look at it. I'm just not sure. But, you know, the peccadillos at City Hall, people are doing things. Yeah, you know, you work for City Hall, and that you're doing... And you're putting out emails all over the air about the things you want to do to each other like they did a few years ago. You know, the part there, too, is, you know, they fired them, they punished them. Why do we need to know the names, and why do we need the contents of the emails? I don't understand that part. You know, you want to say, hey, look, they got fired, and this is it. You know, they were doing these things. Why do you need to know what they are? Do we have the right to know that as citizens because it's on City Hall time? Does that mean we need to know everything about, say, teachers? I mean, we're paying their salary, so why shouldn't we know about what they believe? What about, you know, Tom Armolino is the superintendent of all the, he is the capo di capo of the schools here in Shasta County. We pay his salary. How much do we really need to know about Tom Armolino? Do we know how he votes? Do we need to know? We pay his salary. You know, so this kind of thing about is, hey, we pay their salaries. Well, yeah, we pay their salaries, but how much How much do we really need to know? How much do you really want to know about Kurt Starman's personal life? Is it our business? Or do we care about what's happening at school? And maybe that's where they drew the line. Hey, these guys are at work, so if they're at work, we have a right to know that. Well, doesn't decisions that people make... And I'm just using Tom Armolino because I was just thinking about him. He's been on the show a couple of times. Really a great guy. You know, his heart's obviously in the right place. And we saw him singing and playing a guitar, which completely kind of changed my viewpoint of Tom. And his name popped in my head. There's nothing there that I would go out and be suspect of anything, of course. But when you start putting people's names in the paper, well, what's the reasoning behind it? Okay, let's go on to this. Gas pipes. Those terrible gas pipe explosions in San Bruno. It's coming out right now is that it seems to have been caused by pipes that had been identified 5 years ago or longer. These pipes were in bad shape. See, what's happened is you lay pipes out there, years ago, it could be decades ago, suburbs have caught up with them, have built over them. We have an incident right here in town. It's not a gas pipe. It is a sewer pipe that people are building their house over. And you cannot believe the problems these people are having with the city. Because they say, if you're going to put your house over that, then you have to sign a waiver if anything goes wrong. And, well, wait a minute. I'm not going to sign a waiver. It's your pipe. It's a main sewer pipe. Why should I sign a waiver and have to take care of it if it's your pipe? So all types of problems with that. So imagine if that was a gas pipe, though. You know, it's one of the things that we're going to be looking at this week. And I would hope that something with 150 reporters working at one time could probably look at, too, is how safe are our gas pipes? How many of our gas pipes here in town may have problems? I think we need to talk about that, and we will continue to pursue this. Is that, do we have any that have been identified as being dangerous, as they were in San Bruno? And if you've seen photos of that or you've seen video of that, I tell you what, it looked like rolling thunder. It looked like a napalm attack when it hit, because it went up and it just kept rolling at them. Anyway, hey, we got to take a break here. We're going to come back talking about, hey, is Channel 7 taking sides in the election? Could that be? Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Good morning here, right on Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460, 1460 on your dial. We're taking your calls, 605-4567. It's currently 58 degrees. It's going to be high today of 91. Beautiful day. We both of us want to, express gratitude. Thank you so much, Eric Lancaster, our producer today. And thank you, Jim Bramer. Always on time, reading the news. It's so wonderful to have the A-team, I swear. And we miss Bob. Bob, we shout out to you. We've got such a great...
Bob's on his butt on a boat in a lake someplace. I don't feel sorry for Bob at all. I'm going to treat you very badly when you get back. And speaking of Jim Bremer, we had a couple of timing problems this weekend on our shows on Sunday. And Jim came in at least four times that I know. I kept coming in, but he was beating me here. But there's a shout-out to Jim.
Well, you were breaking in some new shows this weekend.
Yeah, we did.
Of course, we had Bridal Talk, and then, of course, Generation. Genesis Generation Sunday evening.
That's running Sunday evening. And now we're expanding, of course, on Sundays. With Around the House, Wake Up Call with Doug Craig, a good show. It presents a different viewpoint than what you're going to hear in other talk shows in this North State. And then, of course,
Donnie Greenberg.
And Donnie had Phil Fountain and Jim Dwyer on, and they turned it loose.
That's cool. Right. A lot of great music.
And then Bridal Talk with Don Shulman. I mean, here's a guy, phone calls all the time. He's got, people are so interested in one of the most important events of their life, weddings. Okay.
The chat room is open.
Channel 7. I saw I was watching this morning because I watch local. I also watch local news. We shop local. We do things local. But we also watch local news. I saw Channel 7 was talking about how the unions had voted all the unions had voted to be able to back and come out openly and things like this. For candidates, political candidates, and how they prominently displayed the sign of Spears, Murray, and Sullivan. SMS. SMS. And then they talked about, well, it's because the city council won't negotiate. This city council won't negotiate. And then that's all it was, and it went to another story. I'm thinking, whoa, wait a minute. You know, there's two sides to every story here. I mean, so what we're putting this is, if you just came through here and you heard that one story, you might say, there's only one side to this. Well, is there? Well, of course not. Hey, we're going to have a Reading Police Officers Association representative, Officer Devereaux, will be here on our show here early next week to talk about it. You know, we've had Bassetti on who's talked, Rick Bassetti. We've had Gary Cadd. Of course, we have Ken Murray. We had, Sandra Spears. Patrick Jones is coming on the 30th. But he's been on before, too. But we want to bring all those out. But here's the thing is this is, you know, when I hear the word negotiate, does anybody ever, do you remember that movie Braveheart? Okay. Do you remember the movie Braveheart?
Oh, yes. When,
okay, they're lining up there to fight. Here come the British out like this. And here's the, you know, and okay, you got to make this an analogy, all right? Here come the Brits with all their heavy cavalry. Nobody's ever stood up to the heavy cavalry before, all right? And then you've got the Scottish serfs lined up there.
On foot,
with these little bitty, some of them just got clubs. And they're going, oh, this doesn't look good. And one of them says, why should we stay here? They're just, you know, it's for the big guys. And they turn, as they start to turn around, the leader of one of the Scots leaders turns around and says, wait a minute, we must negotiate. Wait, leave before, you can't leave before we negotiate. And I'm sorry, that has stuck in my head since then. And then, of course, William Wallace rides up, he says, well, let's go over there. We're going to negotiate. No, we're going to start a war. Now, I'm not saying that's the way to do it. Of course not. But both sides have got to get your heads out of the sand, and let's do what's right for our city. Come on. You know, oh, they won't negotiate. Well, they can turn around. I guarantee you, you ask the other side and say, are they willing to negotiate? Not in good faith. So let's, let's take a step back. Let's put on our big boy pants, take a deep breath, and say, okay, what's right for the city? All right, what's right for the city?
Okay, we've got our chat room open, and I just love the interaction. Here's something that we need to talk about. Remember we were just talking about pipes?
Yeah.
And pipes explosion?
Yes, and that's something I think we need to take a look at.
Okay, well, we got one minute left, but it says, there was a gas leak due to accident in Cottonwood. Because of the article, I learned about the following. Regardless of where you are digging, call USA Underground Service Alert at 811. This is a service that tells you where underground pipes are, and it's free.
Okay. USA 811 tells you, that's a good idea. I mean, people can get into that. And, you know, even if it's an accident and then you have this huge explosion. Okay, we've got to take a break. We're going to come back. Hey, did you know Arnold Schwarzenegger is trying to sell California? It says so. It says so in the paper. It must be true. If it's in the AP... Hey, Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Hey, this is the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bot, this portion of the show brought to you by BNT Satellite. Airport Road, Doug Tooley does Dish TV, guarantees his work, home, theater, surround sound. Veteran of the 82nd Airborne, 244-1988. That's Doug Tooley. He is a good man. His men and women are out there putting in the systems. They guarantee their work. Give this man a try. Local Dish Network. Local man. Buy local. Shop local. It stays here.
Well, let's go to the phones. Good morning, John. You are live on KCNR.
Good morning, Linda. How are you this morning?
We're great.
Carl and Eric, I'm glad to see everybody's up and around and doing their job right now.
Like we have a choice.
We're moving.
Listen, I wanted to just make a comment on Carl's comment about the Police Association report on Channel 7. I saw it also, and I thought very much the same thing. And I've been a bit offended anyway by the fact that these candidates that the Police Association are not only endorsing, but are paying large dollars to, from what I understand, at least $5,000 a candidate, because they're willing to negotiate, or what? Willing to agree to the union's position? Union management contract negotiations is an arbitration, an adversarial arbitration by nature. it's not just a bunch of people singing kumbaya and agreeing to what, you know, one another would like to have done. This is about hardline negotiations for the future of this city and its survival. I worked in union negotiations with United Airlines, and if the union had been giving money to the management negotiators, they'd have been fired. And that's what we're talking about here.
Well, now, when we've had Spear and Sullivan and Murray on, and we've said this, asked them all the questions. Hey, you're being backed by the police associations. Does that mean you dance to their tune? And they all say no. That, you know, that they've explained to them up front that they have to do what's right for the city.
Well, I've seen the signs and I've seen the endorsements and I've been told about the money that's used to back it. You don't do that and not expect something in return.
Well, you could, you know. Some people would believe that.
I think so. Okay, I'm through.
All right. So
have a great day today.
Well, thank you, John, and thanks for calling.
Bye.
All right,
bye.
John, thank you. Oh, okay, the chat room is open. You can go to KCNR 1460, go into the chat room. You know, Coach Bob has been emailing me about this 13-piece group that he's with. That, I don't know, maybe Coach Bob, you'll call in and tell us what you've got going on, because, you know, we love to support the arts. We want to hear what you're doing, and he just opened up the conversation today. Although he always weighs in on what's going on with the conversation, today he said, are you singing? So, of course, my reply was, well, not yet, but soon will be. And then his reply was, well, he's getting ready to do this, whatever he's doing, touring.
I think they're seniors' homes and things.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's part of our population that I think many of us forget. And many of those people were in World War II and the Depression era, and they need so much to have human contact. And bringing music in or card tricks or, you know, just whatever.
They bring in puppies. They bring in animals. Yeah,
yes.
I mean, for people in the seniors' homes, is that, you know, a lot of it is stimulation. And you know, not only that, but it's, you know, it's something. That's the right thing to do. So when you see people volunteering to do that, they get a lot of applause from us. But you see, you know, again, if anybody was at the Tea Party last night at the debate, if you have any impressions, give us a call here for what you saw and what you heard. I didn't see anything about it in the paper or anything. So if it's not in the paper, did it exist? Yes, I believe it did. So give us a call. You know, my favorite headline here. Arnold Schwarzenegger sells California to the East Asia. I mean, how's that for a headline?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a strange headline. Arnold Schwarzenegger sells California to East Asia. And what he's doing, it just says he's touring East Asia to try and drum up business.
So what do you think about that? I mean, you know, when they have the world was flat, remember the guy who wrote the book? I can't think of the name of the author right now. What do you think about bringing Asian businesses to California? I mean, how would
you feel? It's not having Asian businesses here. They're here. The question is that they want them to invest more in California to try and help the $19 billion deficit.
Well, that's what I just said. So why wouldn't you, how do you feel about having a company from China come up to Redding, for instance, and take over part of Stillwater, or if not Stillwater?
I'd love it.
With a huge corporation?
I'd love it. As long as they did things that were that was with our laws, that conformed to our laws, and it was not a polluting company, and it hired people at fair wages. Yeah, I mean, of course, you don't mind people coming in to do that. I'm just saying, is that the headline, Arnold Schwarzenegger sells California to East Asia. And we got to take a quick break here. When we come back, Coach Bob's on the line. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio.
Hi. The one right here in Shasta County. Weather's always brought to you by Ensemble Vineyards. You're listening to KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bott. We've got a caller on the phone. Good morning, Coach Bob. You are on line one, live on the air. How are you this morning?
I'm good. This is Coach Bob. How are you?
Oh, good. So
responding to your comment.
Oh, thank you. I mean, you were on the chat room and you said
I was.
You were, tell us what you're doing.
Well, where do I begin?
Musically, of course, Coach
yeah,
Bob.
Music. Oh, musically, sure. Narrow it down a little. As you may or may not know, and I think you probably do from previous emails and chats and whatnot, I have been a trumpet player all my life. And more recently, I've become a singer and a trumpet player. Well, all of that aside, I'm involved with a little orchestra that's affiliated with the church downtown. And for the past, I don't know, 10 or 12 years, every Tuesday, we go around to nursing homes, retirement facilities, Alzheimer's units, that kind of thing, and play a half an hour to 40-minute show for the people and involve them in singing. We're a full orchestra in the sense that we have brass and reed instruments and a piano and some rhythm, no violins or anything like that. But that's what we do. We do that 9 months out of the year. We're just finishing. Today we will finish our third rehearsal, and we will start our year. We will go until June, and we take the summer off.
Wow. So you, every Tuesday. So
every Tuesday.
How many, what would you call it, facilities or retirement homes are...
There's a bundle, and we will play one selection of tunes and sing songs and whatnot. Approximately 12 to 13 different facilities, and then we change the program and start over again.
So this is something that you and your orchestra and your cohorts that you sing and play with do just for the passion of it?
Yep.
Well, thank you.
Now, yeah, we don't get paid for it. We don't ask for pay, and we'd turn it down if they offered it. We do it because, one, we enjoy it, and, two, we know that they get a lot out of it. And a lot of people they're confined. You know, they don't get out and about. So they, all things considered, as good or bad as we may be, and we're not great, but that's not the point. You don't have to be great to entertain people.
I agree. I agree with that. You know, I will tell you that when I was in junior high and in high school, this is what we used to do when we had our ensembles. We would go hit all the old retirement homes.
Right.
And you know they fill your heart, and that's what
yeah.
matters. They
yeah.
feel, you know, you can make them smile. As a matter of fact, if some of them have lost their memory, all of a sudden through the sound of a line from a song, it brings
yes.
back a memory.
Fast story. One time some years back, we were playing at one of the facilities. It's a little more hardcore facility. That is, it's full nursing with some dementia, some Alzheimer's. Those are tough facilities to play for, because you never know if people are really paying attention. Some are, to outside appearances, they've nodded off, but they may be hearing everything that you do. You don't know, so you assume that they're hearing and enjoying. That's the right approach to take. This one guy was in a wheelchair, and the nurses hauled him out after our show, and one stopped and talked to me and said, this guy was singing through the whole thing. It's the first time he's uttered a sound since he came here.
Wow.
That's just how it works, and that makes it worthwhile, and like I say, that's what we do, and we've done it for a long time, and we'll continue doing it as long as we got somebody running the show, and right now that's me, so I don't mind putting in the time and doing the scheduling and setting up the music, and that's what's involved with it.
Well, thank you so much for, I believe this is a huge service for just,
I like to think it is, Linda.
One soul to another, from one soul to another, thank you.
I appreciate that. Well, sometime you guys aren't doing anything like that ever happens. The guy next to you, I know he doesn't have much going on. On Wednesdays, a little five-piece that I'm involved with plays out at the Nutrition Center at Mercy Oaks, and that's a lot of fun. We play for 2 hours out there, and then we go around to these same places also and entertain. But that's a little more of a professional level, because we have a different set of musicians, and we cross a lot of different music lines with that little group, from old stuff to Dixieland to country to Bob Wills country to a modern country. It's quite a diverse selection of music, but I thought I'd throw that in.
Well, great. And sometime, maybe we can get you to come on and play a little trumpet, especially during the holiday series.
No. I recorded something for Quinn once, and I don't think I'll ever do that again.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? Nobody can see you. They can't see your cheeks blowing out. They just can hear the sound of trumpet. Okay, well, we got to take a break.
So great. I've got to go to work. Thank you.
You have a great gig, and thanks
you
so much,
do
Coach.
The same.
Coach Bob, I always appreciate his chats and coming on and getting to know him. We're going to take a break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. Our chat room is open, KCNR 1460. You can email me at linda at KCNR. We're also taking your calls on the hotline, 605-4567. We'll see you after these messages.
Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 530-605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley have a great tobacco emporium there, but it's not just tobacco. They also have Espresso Joe's. Great coffee, great prices, fixed the way you want it. Cappuccinos, lattes, smoothie stuff, you name it, they have it. And then they also have a room, if you once you buy your coffee or your iced drink, you go in next door where the free Wi-Fi is and sit down and enjoy it. Have a meeting there. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley support our community, support our veterans in so many ways. Yeah, just here in our last segment. Now, we've got Congressman Wally Herger in our next segment, beginning at about 8:05. So if you've got some questions there for the Congressman, you might want to start gearing up. Get your fingers ready on the for the chat room and for send them to Linda at KCNR1460.com or call us at 530-605-4567. Michael Moore, that obese... Okay, let's get out of the personal attacks. Michael Moore, the man who attacks the United States every chance he gets with his films, you know, talking about how horrible we are, how bad capitalism is, how bad the United States is, and how Cuba has the best health care system in the world. We should go into that. Well, maybe not so fast here. Cuba announces mass layoffs in bid to spur the private sector. Yeah, that's right. President Raul Castro has said they're going to lay off more than 500,000 state employees by March and expand, what? Private business. To give them work in the biggest shift to the private sector since the 1960s, the Cuban Workers Federation said. Eventually, more than 1 million jobs will be cut and due to efforts to increase efficiency in the state. More than 85% of Cuban's workers, labor force, over 5 million people, works for the state. And what they're finding is they cannot continue maintaining productive entity services and budgeted sectors with bloated payrolls and losses that hurt the economy. Many of these jobs were unproductive and did nothing. Where we are hiring more in the government, where we are expanding government, Cuba is cutting back. The one that we used to point at as the showpiece of communism and revolution. Wrong. They're cutting back. They realize that the way you grow your economy is give it to the private sector. You don't keep expanding the government. They've experimented with it for 50 years and said, whoa, this just doesn't work. So they're going to start, instead of selling or paying taxi cab drivers for running taxis or running these small restaurants, they're going to start giving out business licenses. 250,000 to begin with. So now people can have their own restaurants, can have their own farms. They lease the taxis, and then it's up to them to make a profit. Now, this is going to be tough for some of them because they have been collecting money without working for 5 decades. This is going to be tough on some of them, but you know what? In this case, Raul Castro is right. The government can't be taking care of everybody. The government needs to get out of it needs to put people to work in private industry. They've done it. 85% of their population or working labor population works for the government. It does not work. Hello, take this message, write it down, send it to the White House. Send it to your representative. It doesn't work. Expanding the government taking over everything does not work. Give our private industry a chance. I never thought I'd really agree with too much that the Castro brothers should say. But it seems to me is that they've come around to my point of view. So, maybe they weren't as, dumb as we thought. That is Cuba going to turn into a democracy? Could that be next? Scary thought. Anyway. Just a little thought there toward the end of the show. Like I said, all right, in our next hour, we're going to have Congressman Wally Herger. And there's something, you know, a couple other things, too, is that, you know, this mosque thing does not go away. And now the imam is saying that it's worth all this problem. And he's saying things like, this is not hallowed ground. And he's right. It wasn't right at that spot. Oh, by the way, Michael Moore, okay, we just talked about him, how everything, if you're an American, is bad. Of course, he grows opulently wealthy and heavier because of all the money he makes because of the freedoms he has in this country. He said they shouldn't build a mosque a block away. They should build it right on where the World Trade Center was. I found that amusing. Anyway, the imam says, hey, you've got strip clubs, you've got these other things, you know, in the blocks around it. What's the big thing about a Islamic cultural center? We did see something that said, look, if you want to have a cultural center, fine. Why don't you make it for all cultures and
all
build
faiths.
It there? All faiths, all cultures, and put that there.
We like that.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
You know what? If you want to do that, fine. Then it could be Muslim, Christian, Mormon, Buddhist.
You can do a big...
Taoist.
Do like what they did at the cathedral.
Hindu.
Do a big cathedral, and each, you know, you get the stained glass window representing your faith.
Yeah, you know, and then you could have it for everybody. Why is it just one, if you want to have that? I mean, is that the idea, a cultural center? That way all the cultures could be integrated. It could be like a mini UN building, except without all the expense. Let somebody else pay for it. Could that be? Well, are we being too Pollyannish here? This couldn't just be
a political thing.
What
is wrong with thinking in simplistic terms?
There's nothing wrong with thinking about it, except there's an agenda here, and everybody knows that there is an agenda here. I mean, they can say, oh, no. I mean, people can stand back and say, oh, they have a right to do that. Absolutely, they have a right. But there's an agenda here. If people say there's not an agenda, they are naive or they are lying. They are lying. If they say there's no agenda here, of course there's an agenda. Who can not believe there's an agenda behind building a cultural center / mosque a block away from where the World Trade Centers were taken down by terrorists of the Islamic faith? They may have been way to the side, and they may have been religious fanatics, as we have in many of the religions, but they still were. I mean, so there is an agenda here. Okay. Do they, you know, rights, what's right and what's not right? Yeah, we'll let somebody else figure that out.
We're going to take a break. Coming back up to these messages from...
With Congressman Herger.
That's right. We're going to have a Fox News break. This is KCNR Shasta Redding and Free Fire Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, September 14th. It's 8:05 in the morning. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. 605-4567, or you can chat with us at KCNR1460.com or write to Linda at Linda@KCNR1460.com. Our guest is Congressman Wally Herger. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
Well, we're doing pretty good back here. The weather looks like we're breaking here. It's going to be like 90 degrees today. What's it like back in D.C.?
Well, it's looking like fall a little bit here. It's kind of nice, pretty kind of nice weather here.
Congressman, all the things have been hitting on the paper about tax cuts. Are the tax cuts coming back? Are they going to be stay away? Or what's going on back there with
Tax cuts. You know, since they talk about tax cuts, really what they're talking about, we're talking about not raising the taxes. The tax level that we're on now have been going on for approaching 10 years. But if those who are in charge here in Washington now don't do something about it, we'll see the largest tax increase. Not cut, but increase, beginning January 1 in our nation's history, $3.8 trillion. So hopefully something's going to be done between now and the last days that we're in session. Now, we do have GOP plan that will freeze these rates for an additional 10 years so that they don't automatically
go up as they're right now scheduled to do. Again, that would be a freeze for 2 years.
Well, the I think the latest thing was is the about tax cuts for the middle class, or let them stay in for the middle class, and then to tax the wealthy, and wealthy being considered anybody over $250,000 a year.
Yeah, so it's between 200 and 250. But what's interesting is that there's not very many poor people who hire people, and over half of those that are in that category happen to be under the category of small business and are the very ones who are help hire other people. With that $200,000 that they have, and so many feel, most economists feel, that would be very detrimental to our at any time, but particularly now when we're in this the deepest recession since the 30s. It would be just a dramatic job killer.
You know, it seems like the climate of the country right now is if you're in D.C., you're in trouble as far as elected officials. It seems like there's going to be a lot of changes. Incumbents, and mainly it's been on the Republican Party, are being challenged throughout the United States.
And I think that is a good thing. I mean, the battle cry that you hear from the Tea Party people, for example, is remember in November. And we see every election. We have some elections that are going on today throughout the nation, I think, in about 4 or 5 states. And all of these elections that we've seen so far this year, we have seen a number of these incumbents who are kind of go-along, the stay-along type individuals that have been retired. And I think that's a very good thing. I think we're going to see it, as you're alluding to, Carl, very dramatically take place in this November, on November 2nd. It's time that these people who are going along with the taxes increase, who are going along with the big government increase in spending, with the government borrowing, that these people need to be retired. And I believe the voters are going to do that come November 2nd.
Okay, Congressman, we're going to have to take a quick break here. And we come back, we want to know, you know, we'd like to ask you about plans, you know, plans for to help the economy recover that the Republican Party has, you know, changes, you know, a new way of doing business since we've gotten into this morass, and how can we start fighting our way out of it. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Good morning, North State. Welcome back. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. We're taking your calls at 605-4567. That's the hotline in the studio. And also your emails, Linda at KCNR1460. And the chat room is open. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. Is this Linda?
This is Linda.
Oh, great. It was good seeing you at the benefit, and Carl, the other night.
Thank you. It was wonderful having you there at the United Way event at the Red Lion Inn. It was a spectacular event, and people really enjoyed seeing you at the entrance there as you greeted all of the people who came to that event. So thanks for being on our show today, and I just would like to share with you a comment and a question from somebody in our chat room. May I?
Sure.
Okay. Question for the congressman. What is the conversation in Washington about the mosque at Ground Zero?
Well, I have to tell you, I just got into Washington last night. So I'm in Washington for the first day. We've been out in the district for the last 6 weeks. So I, to be honest with you, I haven't had a chance to talk with people here, but I can tell you everything I can gather is that, I mean, this is a bizarre situation. How in the world that we can have a group, and it isn't a case of freedom of religion, it's a case of whether or not we're going to put this Muslim mosque on, right at the point of Ground Zero, where this horrible catastrophe took place, is just really shows a lack of respect. And you know they could find a place maybe 5-6 blocks away or some other place, but again, to put it virtually on ground zero, I think just is incredibly insensitive by those who are attempting to do it, and something that should not happen.
Well, you know, they're saying it should, you know, it's a cultural center and all this, but, you know, and what the last comments we made before you came on, Congressman, was it's, there's an agenda here, and if people don't believe there's an agenda, they're silly. When we talk about changing tracks here, your thoughts about what the Republican Party is going to do to try to bring back the economy?
Well, we have to be doing the type of policies, implementing the type of policies that's going to bring about jobs. And I've been out in the district here for all of August and the beginning of September, and you hear the same thing from all your business people, those who would be the ones that would be creating jobs, and that is that they need certainty, they need predictability. And certainly the fact that their taxes are going to go up by some of the largest amount in our nation's history automatically without the Congress doing anything on January 1 of 2011 is not what brings certainty or predictability. It takes money out of the economy. No one's going to be investing when they know that. So we have to ensure that that's not going to happen. So that's probably number one what we would do. Number two, the other thing I hear other small business people telling me is that the unpredictability of this Obama health care, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid health care bill that's here. There's one restaurant chain in our area that is 43 restaurants started in our area, indicated they had planned to put 10 new restaurants in this year, and they talked to their accountant about what health care was going to cost them. They indicated it would cost $2,000 per employee. They're now, instead of opening and creating jobs with 10 restaurants, they're opening none. So we need to repeal this Obama health care bill that we have in. So those are a couple of the things that we would do right away, work towards doing, should we get a chance at controlling or being in charge again.
Okay. One of the other things, Congressman, is, you know, besides just, you know, not allowing the tax cuts to go and getting the health care, you know, we talked about that how Cuba and Castro is changing their way of doing business and essentially going back to private industry. So there's got to be cuts someplace in the government also. What are the any planned cuts that people are talking about or that you think you can get consensus on to start whittling away at how much the government spends?
Well, this is another thing that we've offered, Carl, and that is that we need a government spending freeze. And this is a freeze not at our level that we have now, which is increased 20%. From what it was when President Obama took office, but we need to freeze it at the levels they were at 2008. So that would be minus the 20% increase is what we need to freeze our government at. And then we need to begin going in and doing what we talk to almost everyone on the street. You talk to them, is that most of them have been cut back. Many of them have been have their hours reduced. We have jobs that have been lost. We have one of the huge high unemployment rate in California, 12%, and is far higher than Northern California. And what are these people doing? They're cutting back, and government has to begin doing the same. And we need to be going out maybe each year. First, we freeze it, which means a 20% reduction and what we have now, and then we need to go out and begin scaling back government. Maybe 5% would be the next reduction, and this is something that people can do. The government can do it too.
Well, we have a caller, Congressman. Let's go to Nancy on line two. Good morning, Nancy. Welcome to the show. You're on the phone with Congressman Herger.
Yes. Good morning, Congressman Herger.
Good morning, Nancy.
And Carl and Linda.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us and greeting the folks, the public that came into our event the other night for our celebrity waiter night. We had a lot of fun. It was great. Thank you so much. That's the first thing I want to say. Secondly, as a nonprofit, I do have concern. I listen to our radio programs, and especially Carl and Linda here, and I hear things like taxes are going up the first of the year, and knowing that our North State area is made up of a lot of small business people, especially in northern county areas that we also do fundraising in, or a county area-wide United Way, and I see a lot of struggle. It concerns me about taxes going up the first of the year, even more than they are already, and more businesses closing. What do you think if they don't repeal the tax credits? What kind of domino effect can we expect? What is your opinion on that?
Well, Nancy, we cannot allow these taxes to go up. We're really hearing a lot of bipartisan comments to that. I mean, everyone except the president and except Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, but even those, even many on the other party are indicating this can't happen. But we have a limited amount of days that we're going to be here in session before we're completely out of session, and it takes place, so we have to move forward with that. We basically have an anchor around our neck. It's killing jobs, and those businesses like this restaurant chain I was mentioning who would like to be opening their businesses, they're not because of what's out there. And we have to turn this around. We have to give predictability. We have to give certainty so that we can begin creating jobs again.
How can us, the everyday citizen, help that? What can they do to get on the bandwagon to say no to that? Please listen to us, leaders.
Well, the biggest thing we can do is what Carl alluded to at the beginning of the program, and I'm gonna, and that is we are gonna see a big change through those who are elected in November. Those who are not, and we have several on the ballot here on November 2nd who have not been supporting certainty, who have been supporting increases in taxes, and we have an opportunity to vote them out of office and replace them, and I believe that's what we're going to see throughout the nation. And so, you know, as that battle cry I'm beginning to hear is, remember in November.
Nancy, we're going to have to take a break here. We're to get us back on schedule here, but thanks so much for your phone call. Congressman, we've got another break here before, if you can hang on with us here for a minute.
Sure.
Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Hi, I'm Pat.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Lindebaugh. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Our guest is Congressman Wally Herger. Congressman, I know we've only got a few more minutes here. So, we talked about, you know, it's got to be some changes. We've talked about, you know, maintaining the tax cuts, or that, you know, so that they will not be raised. You know, let's try not to do class warfare here with our taxes. What do you see happening? You know, just, I'm going to throw this one in off the wall here, but what do you see happening in Afghanistan? Iraq's coming down off the step, even though it's still dangerous there. But now Afghanistan, we're losing a lot of people there.
Well, you know, wars are never easy. They're tragic. Many times, I mean, it can be tough going. I mean, we just look at Iraq, how that was. We had some tough going in Iraq. I think why we saw things turn around in Iraq is that President Bush made, and our troops made a commitment that we were going to go in there and win, basically, and we were able to do that. I think if we're going to be in Afghanistan, which we are, And I think it's important that we're there just because of what an incredibly sensitive part of the world that is. Then we need to have our president listening to our generals on the ground. I don't think you can go in and predict, okay, we're going to leave in a year, and then all the terrorists decide, okay, we're going to hold back until you go. I don't think that's the type of commitment that you give that you're going to win.
Do you think President Obama has given that type of leadership, or is he given the is it wavering or what?
Well, he certainly what you call it, whatever you want. We certainly is night and day different than what we saw with President Bush. President Bush was very clear: we intend to win this. And this president, and President Bush did not give timetables. I'm going to be out no matter what by a certain time. We all want to be out, but we want to be out not having our servicemen and women dying in vain. But I think we see night and day difference between President Obama and President Bush. President Obama, I mean, it's very clear he can't wait to get out and is giving every indication he can when we're going to be out. I don't think that's the way you win.
Well, you know, we've only got about a minute and a half left here, Congressman. And, you know, next time we have you on, like, talk veterans issues and a few other things like that. But last thoughts here for our audience.
Well, it's been great. We've been out for all of August for the work recess, the first part of September out. We've had meetings all around, and it's really been on radio shows like yourself and others. It is good to be able to hear what people are saying. People are unhappy. They're unhappy with Washington, and I believe it's gonna turn into a very positive election. For beginning to replace the people, the old guard, a tax and spend and borrow guard that's been in Washington for many years, with some who's going to begin tightening our belts, living within our means, and giving predictability and being able to create jobs.
Okay. Congressman Wally Herger, thank you so much for being on the show today, Congressman.
Thank you, Carl and Linda. Great to be with you.
All right. Take care.
Okay, we're getting ready to take a break here. How much time we have there? Okay. When we come back, we're going to be discussing a number of other subjects near and dear to our heart out here. You know, we talked about mosques and imams and Cuba, and you know, the congressman on ways of cutting cost. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, a home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl on the bot. Good morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and you can chat with Linda at kcnr1460.com. And we just got an email to Linda to ask the congressman about who's watching the czars. And, you know,
I think there's a lot of angry people out
people
there, and this
angry.
Is good.
Good
I mean, this is
angry.
Something I could have, you know, I could have read, but I didn't get to it. I'm going back and forth between the chat room and emails, but talk about, you know, who's checking out, what are the Republicans doing to track the White House czars and their effect on America? You know, what kind of policies are these 60s lefties implementing? People are mad.
Well, you know, but here's the other thing, though. But the ones you see are getting hammered are the ones in the Republican Party, the ones that have been there. I mean, you know, you talk about what kind of impact does the Tea Party have? And again, you know, people, as soon as you say Tea Party, people go berserk. It's like, oh, TPs, oh, the baggers, oh. You know, it's like, okay, got it. But here's the thing is, you know, I look at the Tea Parties here in town. You know, we don't belong to the Tea Parties because I don't think you can belong to the Tea Parties. I think you're just, it's a movement that you either show up for or you don't show up. It's kind of like okay, I am not saying the Tea Party is the Patriot Guard Riders or the Missing in America Project or the American Legion Riders. Patriot Guard Riders, they have an event, so you just show up for it. There's no, you know, you don't have dues or you don't, you know, have meetings, you know, unless it's, you know, hey, let's go have breakfast someplace. I kind of get that feeling when I talk to, you know, when I see, you know, because we go to different meetings of all kinds. I see these people showing up. I don't see that as a, you know, an organized movement, I guess is what I'm saying. And so, at least around here, they don't endorse candidates. But what they do is get behind candidates, and they use their votes, they use their time, they use their feet, and they even use their money to support candidates. There's nothing wrong with that. You need that. So when I look at the big changes that are going on, what do you see? You see Republicans are in deep trouble. You see them that the senator from, I believe it's Utah, got replaced in the primaries, and that's what happened. You know, and so you've got the Tea Party candidate in Nevada that's going to be running against Reid. Right now, they're at a dead even. Now, who would have thought that a year ago? Harry Reid's in trouble. He's fighting for his life right now, his political life, I should say. Maybe who knows? Maybe Harry doesn't want to stay there. So that you have the Tea Party that's backing these candidates. That's no, you know, in the last election, remember what all the screaming was about? Come on, Acorn. You remember Acorn? Oh, Acorn. Well, you know, the one thing that Acorn got or was receiving that the Tea Party doesn't receive that I know of is federal funding. That's right. You know, millions of dollars went to Acorn, and yet they were getting out there, and they were drawing parallels. They were throwing things they were doing illegal, but they were behind the quote, you know, candidates, yet it was mainly the Obama Democrats that they were helping, it appears to me. So, you know, we don't hear about that going on. How come, what's the difference between one political group getting out there and helping and something else? I know, oh, because the Tea Party are too conservative, they're too white, they're too racist, they're too something. I find it ridiculous, personally. But then again, people have a reason to dislike other people. Anyway, so that goes on. So, you know, so when you start talking about that, it's really who's getting hammered.
Meanwhile, on a positive note,
oh yeah, everything's
on local
positive
news, we want to congratulate the Millville Elementary School that has broke the 900 mark in the Academic Performance Index. So, congratulations. I know you're all going to party. And the students at Whitmore Elementary.
Are going to go party?
Yeah, they are. And as well, the students at Whitmore Elementary, another kindergarten through eighth grade school that scored high, have already partied. They've went to Waterworks Park. So, congratulations. I think that's really a wonderful thing, national news, that I think that why people would want to move to the North State, because there are really good schools here.
Well,
you know? Let's sell out Stillwater. Bring your business here. Kids have great schools. And, you know, there's a lot to be said about that. Congratulations, Millville Elementary, for setting the bar so high.
Well, it is. And, you know, sometimes we forget of how many great things there are about living up here in the North State. You know, it's people. It's the people that, you know, that work. Go that extra mile. Go the extra mile for the schools that go to help each other out. I mean, even this little foal, this little colt, Honey Bandit. You know, it's fighting for its life. It's the latest update on that one is that the dog that belongs to the family has now he and Honey Bandit have become buddies, and there's, you know, like he's, you know, laying up against it, keeping it warm. I mean, it's really, I guess you could say it's, you know, it's a story that, you know, that catches your attention, and you think about. This colt too is what they found out. It's deaf somehow during the run. It's deaf. It doesn't have a mom. It's beat up and the whole thing. So, you know, it needs extra sensory, you know, extra things that they do for it. I mean, this is this is a work of love that's going on up there in Shingletown. And if you go to chilipepper.com or something, and if we don't have that link up there, I'm going to talk to our little hobbit web guy and have him make sure it's up there. But they're still fighting that. So, I mean, those are, you know, those are good stories. Those are things that are positive. Those are things that happen around here a lot of times that we just don't sometimes remember to say. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, this is...
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop off Athens Avenue in the Cypress Square. DC Tim and the Man in Black give great haircuts, great prices. They give discounts to veterans, for the elderly, which helps Eric when he goes in there and get his haircut. Man's Last Stronghold, good haircuts, good times, fair prices. What more can you ask? Well, one thing you don't ask for hairstyling. Ain't going to happen. Okay. There's a bill that's been, I've been saving this for the last because it's got me all revved up. It looks like there is a bill that's working its way through the assembly that would make it a motor vehicle violation to ride a loud motorcycle. That's right. They're saying is that the people that they're complaining is that they rev their engines with complete disregard for the people who live here, complained resident. Anyway, the bill targets motorcycles that remove the factory-installed emission control device mandated by the U.S. government and replaces them with custom aftermarket parts that often make the bikes louder. Oh, say it isn't true. Say it's not true that people would actually do that, make their bikes louder, make them so they go, boom, 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 and give that, potato, 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 as opposed to them, that goes by that little Japanese bike, Yamaha, Yamaha.
They call them rice rockets.
As opposed to, American, 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 American. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm getting careful. I'm getting, you know. But what it says is here, once that happens, that you have to then put a proper U.S. Environmental Protection Agency label certifying that the exhaust system is clean burn and does not exceed 80 decibels, or the sound of your Hoover vacuum cleaner. That's right. So now I'm riding my Hoover down the road. And that idiot who is on his cell phone with the windows up, doesn't hear, doesn't look, whack. And then, but you know what? My little Hoover sound then ceases for a long time. You know, this is so silly. You know, why don't you do it? Why don't we do this on a basis like, hey, if you think this is too loud. I think there's already rules in different cities. For a while, Laguna Beach was just coming down hard on people because they said it's too loud. Well, then the question is, how much is too loud? How can you tell? Do you have your little, your little noise meter here? And the policeman would say, I know what loud is, and that's too loud. So then they'd go to court and all these things, but do we need to do this? I mean, here is our state, $19 billion in a hole. They can't agree on anything. Well, but let's go after those motorcycles. Those are the ones that are causing all the problem in this state. You know, I think it was right. I think the headline was right. Schwarzenegger sells California to Asia. You know why? As I'm going off on this tangent here, is that he's selling California to Asia. This is just part of it. Taking an American-made motorcycles and the sounds that they make, the Harleys, and then making them so that they sound like Asian motorcycles. The only thing we possibly could have that may save us is the Governator rides a Harley. And then all of his buddies there, you know, like Jay Leno and all the other ones, they ride Harleys. There's some that ride others, but yeah. Nothing wrong with them, with other bikes. But I think isn't it kind of ridiculous that our Congress, our Assembly, and all this is spending so much time making sure that a motorcycle muffler is not too loud.
Okay, speaking of motorcycles, I got to just chime in here because it's fall is on its way, and it's the breeding season for deer.
Whoa.
How many people do we know have been, had a confrontation with a deer on their motorcycle?
We know four people, and yes. If you think about it, that's a lot of people.
Well, the animal regulation officials are there warning the Reading motorists and motorcycle riders. Female deer may be more active around roadways, many of which border deer habitat. So
another good reason to have a loud bike, so they hear you coming. That's right, you just rev that motor, rev that engine, and they get out of the way, so you sneak up on them. And that's when they get hit. In fact, the people we've known that have gotten hit by deers were all on bikes with lower decibel sounding mufflers. I promise, that's true. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. This portion of the show has been brought to you by B&T Satellite off Airport Road. Doug Tooley puts in the Dish Network, puts in Home Theater Systems. Veteran of the 82nd Airborne, Doug guarantees his work. They're on time. They do what it takes to get you up and get you running. And then if there's any problems at all, he gives you his cell phone number so you can call him anytime. That's a great way to do business. It's Doug Tooley at B&T Satellite. 244-1988.
Okay, one of the surveys that we just recently came upon, and, you know, it's always a reminder, and it's like, oh, gosh, what are you going to talk about now? Well, you know, it's a public service announcement about the bird flu. That helped, and it's an observational study done last month, found that 85% of adults wash their hands in public restrooms. It seems that 93% of women wash their hands versus 77% of men. I don't know why, but we talk about what consists of a good washing. And because, you know, the fall is coming up, we know that it's school, back to school time. It's, you know, we get run down because the weather changing and so on and so forth. So the experts consider a good hand washing. warm water, soap up, and get a good lather going for at least 20 seconds. Rinse and then dry on a paper cloth or towel. Now, if there are no towels, don't fret. Research done in Pakistan shows that even wiping your hands on your clothes helps the friction rub away microbes.
And then you walk over to the door, open up, grab a hold of the door handle with your hand that other people have not washed their hands on, and you'll walk outside.
And then you go up and you take your finger and you scratch your nose, and next thing you know, your orifices have been touched by... But anyway, so be thinking about that. It's important because now it's germ spreading. We're trying to, time.
Record Searchlight did a survey, and it's unofficial, unscientific, but they said, in the political campaigns, what political action are you most likely following, or most closely following? And the first one's the Republicans' drive to take Congress back, 30%. Proposition 19, the initiative to legalize marijuana. 24%. The governor's race, the union's battle against the incumbent Reading City councilors, that's 13% of the people, and then the Senate contest is only 11%. So it's the big thing is, are the Republicans going to take back? And then the second is the marijuana initiative. I tell you what, a lot of the big guns are coming in here on this, and now there's talking about, you know, some of the police chiefs are saying, you know, the latest thing I heard was, or read, and they've been using this as a fact to beat people over the head with, is that marijuana is the largest cash crop in California. The largest cash crop in California is marijuana, and it's illegal. So the question is do you want to legalize marijuana? And if you do, what impact is that going to have on it being the largest cash crop? Will it continue to be the largest cash crop? Or will it, after that happens, when they tax it out of existence and they put it in the warehouses, and Walmart owns most of the marijuana production facilities, that and Philip Morse, you know, will that drive the prices down? You know, you get that little pack of Shasta County Wowie. You know, do we get in the business of it? You know, the whole thing is, of course, beyond me at this point.
I was having this conversation last evening with a girlfriend of mine that thinks, you know, that it should be legalized, and I said, well, the problem is, and I was telling her about how you had gone up to
Hayfork,
and how Hayfork made national news as being some of the best weather to grow pot. And my parents had called me from Sacramento and said, gee, Hayfork made the national news. I think it was on Fox or something. But anyway, so I was telling her the problem is that, you know, I don't have a problem if they took 400 acres someplace and they had a pot farm.
Well, they do.
Well, I'm talking about here. I mean, like
they
a pot farm.
They
but the problem is when it's illegal and it's not, what's the word I'm trying to say here?
It's
when
not regulated.
Regulated,
and they don't
thank
follow,
you.
They don't follow all
exactly.
the
so you,
other things.
You have these pesticides and you have all this, human waste and stuff that's going on to the forest floors and going down into the rivers
the
and the streams. And then... that water affects us, so it's really affecting us, even if they tax it, it still has to be regulated. It's affecting us.
Well, that's what they're saying, is that, you know, somebody said, you know, Philip Morris buying 6,000 acres up here to start growing is Walmart. Well, you know what? You legal. But here's the thing is, you legalize it in California, it's still federally banned. What are you going to do? But then again, it doesn't make any difference what voters think or what the people think, because you've always got judges that will change that. Like that one town back, I think, in Pennsylvania that said it's illegal to rent to people living in this country illegally or hire them. The circuit court said, oh, no, you can't do that. You're discriminating against people here illegally. Well, wait a minute, the city says. We should have a right to say, if you are here illegally, you are conducting an illegal act, we are not going to hire you, we're not going to give you a place to live. Well, this court says, not so fast. So it looks like this one's going to go up to the Supreme Court. This should be interesting. It's kind of like Arizona taking on the feds. Again, people trying to save what they have, people trying to say, you know what, enough is enough, the federal government's not doing anything, and then the federal government turns on them like a rabid dog. It's not right. Hey, but you know what, let's finish with something really great. Thursday night.
Thursday night, 6 p.m., you got to tune in. First of all, we start off, it's On the Spot with Linda Bott, Thursday night, 6 p.m. We come in right after Michael Savage, just that one night a week, Thursday night. But we're going to talk about what's happening in the North State. We have an interview with playing the track from a guy that's from here, from the North State. It's a really wonderful album. We will have Lisa Collins, of course, telling you what's happening on the theater scene. We have a wonderful interview with the gal who, the segment is Living in a Man's World, Breaking the Glass Ceiling. I will surprise you with that. You will find more information about that by going to the website. We have giveaways. We've got gift certificates and for the mall. And stay tuned. We're going to have a lot of great things happening every Thursday night here at 6. It's called On the Spot with Linda Bott.
You know what I like? You know, there's no anger there. There's no people pointing fingers. It's a great show. It's a fun show.
It's an uplifting show. I like to call it like Sex in the City G-rated. What are you going to do to go out and have fun? Yeah.
All the phone calls you got. People are happy and talking about things that are going on that are positive around here.
We got great emails afterwards, and it's just, like, yeah. I said, what are you going to do? You can do so many things here in the North State that are just about going out and feeling sassy and having a great time with your girlfriends, with your lover, with your mate, with your buds.
It's going to be great. You know, hey, tomorrow our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.